يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم بزرگان محترم اور برادران اسلام آج ہماری لیے بڑی خوش قسمتی اور سعادت کا موقع ہے کہ آج الحمدللہ ہماری اس مسجد کے اندر جامع مسجد ابو بکر کے اندر برطانیہ کے مشہور عالم دین مشہور شخصیت بزرگ شخصیت حضرت مولانا سلیم دورہ صاحب دام برکات و ملالیہ تشریف لائے ہیں. باوجود بیماری اور علالت کے حضرت نے شفقت فرمائی ہے اور ہماری درخواست پر آج بیان کرنے کے لیے تشریف لائے ہیں. ہم تہ دل سے ان کے ممنون ہیں اور شکریہ ادا کرتے ہیں کہ انہوں نے اپنے قیمتی اوقات میں سے وقت نکالا اور یہاں تشریف لائے. اللہ تعالیٰ ان کی عمر میں علم میں عمل میں برکت عطا فرمائے, ان کو شفائے کاملہ عاجلہ مستمرہ عطا فرمائے, ترقی فی دارین فلاح فی دارین عافیت فی دارین عطا فرمائے. حضرت کے بیان سے پہلے میں نعت کے لیے دعوت دیتا ہوں مولانا محمد زبیر صاحب کے, اور تشریف لائیں اور نعت پڑھیں.
نبی کی سنت پر جو کوئی عامل نہیں ہوتا, نبی کی سنت پر جو کچھ حاصل ہوتا, وہ کچھ بھی کر رہا ہوں اس سے کچھ حاصل ہوتا. کرشمے کچھ دکھایا ولی اس کو Thank you. جانب جس کا دل نائل نہیں ہوتا. بہت تحقیق کی ساقی دے تیرا بس جو نہیں نکلا. بہت تحقیق کی ساقی دے تیرا بس جو
ماشاء اللہ یہ آپ کے سامنے ہمارے نا زبیر صاحب نظر کے اندر جو ہے وہ مجھے اور آپ کو عظیم سبق دے گئے کہ سرکار دو عالم محمد دو عالم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سنتوں پر عمل کرنا ہے, اتباع کرنی ہے آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سنتوں کی. دعا فرمائے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ مجھے بھی اور آپ کو بھی اور ہم سب کو جو ہے وہ سرکار دو عالم محمد دو عالم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سنتوں پر عمل پیرا ہونے کی توفیق عطا ہو. میں دعوت دیتا ہوں لیسٹر سے تشریف لائے ہوئے حضرت مولانا محمد یاسین صاحب کو کہ وہ تشریف لائیں اور آپ کے سامنے 15-20 منٹ کے لیے جو ہے وہ آپ کے سامنے بیان فرمائیں گے.
الحمد للہ وکفا والسلام علی عبادہ النبی مصطفیٰ اما بعد. Respected elders, respected علماء کرام and dear young friends, السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. Alhamdulillah, it's very pleasing to see many young faces gathered on a Saturday evening to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to come and benefit from the words of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the company of the pious. It's a very great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has granted us this tawfiq. He gave us the ability to come and participate in this program. Many of you yourselves may know of so many youngsters outside, so many people who Allah did not grant this tawfiq to, this blessing and this gift that they come in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to read the salah or to participate in the program. So we need to be grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great blessing of Allah. In reality, I do not want to take much of your time. I do not want to be a hindrance between yourselves and our respected Sheikh, as this is hopefully one of the beginning of many gatherings that inshallah the people of Cardiff will be blessed with and the coming of our respected Sheikh time and again to this locality of yours, inshallah. It is a statement of one of our great Islamic leaders and great Islamic scholars come to mind, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, a great alim and scholar of Pakistan, the father of the respected Mufti Muhammad Taqi Sahib and Mufti Muhammad Rafi Sahib. The father used to say that the passing of the alim and a scholar and a pious person and a wali of Allah from any locality is a means of blessing and barakah for that locality. So alhamdulillah, you are blessed with the company and the chance and the ability and opportunity to benefit from the words of our respected Sheikh. So I don't want to be a hindrance between yourselves and the respected Sheikh. But very shortly and very briefly, I just want to mention two very small but very important points. We have all gathered here today and we have come with an intention and objective. But if many of us were asked what our objective is to come into this gathering, the majority of us will probably say and have in the back of our mind that we will gain reward from this gathering. By all means, reward is definitely an objective of a believer. To gain reward. The more reward the person gains, the closer he becomes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. most definitely rewards and objectives. But we will find ourselves many times, we will find an opportunity to come and sit in the gathering of someone, to sit in the gathering of the scholars, to sit in the gathering of the mashayikh, to sit in the gathering of the pious. Besides reward, there are two very great objectives that we should have, not only in today's gathering, but whenever we have the opportunity to attend such gatherings. One objective is, and a very great objective this is, the company of the pious. This should be an objective of a believer, that whenever he gets the opportunity to come and sit in the company in a religious gathering, his intention should be that I am coming to sit in the company of the pious. And this is something with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have told us through the hadith in the Quran. The Quran time and again informs us of the importance of company. That the company that you spend your time with, the environment you spend your time in, this is what you become. And it does not take a genius to realize that environment and company has an effect on each person. Is a judge and a jury for himself. All he has to do is look at his company and then decide that what sort of life does he have. If he's in the company of a smoker, he will also be a smoker. If his company revolves around them and drink alcohol, you will find that he also drinks alcohol. If a person finds himself gambling, he will realize that the company and the people I spend my time with are also gamblers. So whatever we do in our lives, if our habit is of salah, we will find that we have some association with those people who live in the environment of salah. If you recite the Quran regularly, you will find that there is some element of company which makes us recite the Quran. So any good or bad, company makes us what we are. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the glorious Quran clearly has informed us that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيُّهُ بِهِينَ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ فِيهَا اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَكُونُوا مَا الصَّادِقِينَ. And spend your time with the truthful. Spend your time with the sadiqeen, the pious. Those who have piety within them. Those whose heart is adorned with the quality of taqwa. That they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are pious. They are punctual with the dues of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they refrain from the downs of Allah. Whatever Allah has told them to do, whatever Allah has told us to do in Sharia, they adopt that. And whatever Allah has told the believers to refrain from, they refrain from. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs in the verse of the Quran that only believers fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and while fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep good company. Keep good company, but spend time in the right environment with the right people. Because company has an effect on the person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person and a man, he is in the creed and in the way of his friend. That whatever his company is like, whatever his friend is like, the people he associates himself with, whatever those people are like, he will be on the same creed, he will be on the same way. His ideology will be the same, his thinking will be the same, his habits will be the same, his actions will be the same. Whatever he, his company is, this is what he will be. فَلْيَنْدُ رَحَبُكُمْ مِنْ يُخَارِمُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ advises them and warns us that the echo of Hassan should be careful who he befriends. Who he associates himself to? Who is it in his company, the company of the pious, or is it the company of those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Today in our environment, especially our own friends, we are careful of this aspect of our deen. That who should we spend our time with? Who should we spend our time with? What sort of people should we spend our time with? What sort of actions should we be adopting in our life? And what sort of actions are we involved in? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this life, this whole life of ours, this time which Allah has given us. This life of ours is very blessed. This life of ours is very valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A young man and a youth who thinks that this life is of not much use and he engages his time, he spends his life in doing everything which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he may not realize the value of his life. But in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn that those angels which have been given the duty to look over the people in this world, when they see youth in the young age coming and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they also wish that they were given this opportunity to be a human and be a young man, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With this time to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to carry out the duties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the time which Allah has given us, it is so valuable that the angels, when they see a young man worshipping Allah and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they become envious. That only if we were also be given life like this and we were also given youth like this And we have also given a heavenly reproach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner. So our youth is very valuable. Our time is very valuable. So therefore if our time is spent, and this life of ours, this valuable life of ours is spent with those people who divert our attention away from our Creator who has given us everything. Our Creator gave us everything. He is the one who gave us his youth. He is the one who gave us his time. His Creator has been given the sustenance we eat, the water we drink he gave us, the intelligence which he has given us, the eyes which he has given us, he is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything he has given us. But at the same time we find ourselves, because of the company we are in, we do not think that Allah has given us this eye, but we misuse this eye. We do not think that Allah has given us wealth, but because of the even effect of our company, we misuse our wealth in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given us our ears, Allah has given us our tongue, Allah has given us everything that we have. But because of the people that we are around, we forget to realize that we have a duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we make our objective of our life to keep it around with our friends. And this is not only something for the extreme youngsters or the youth or the teen, but this is a sickness and this is a problem for adopting in any age. One who finds himself diverting and diverting attention from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the duties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will find that there is something either the environment or either the people he is with, he will find that this is an element in him disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and finding himself not blaming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first, when you have an opportunity like this and a chance like this to come into the company of somebody pious, come into the company of the mashayikh and the ulama, this should be an objective that we are coming in because Allah told us in the Quran, وَقُورُ مَا صَعْدِينَ. Let's spend time with the truthful. So we are coming with this intention that we will sit in the gathering of this pious person and we will benefit from this company. This is number one. And number two, while coming in the company, while coming in such gatherings, a second objective of ours should be, and a very great objective should be, that while sitting in this gathering, we are going to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do and what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to refrain from. If we do not attend such gatherings, and if we don't have this intention that we want to learn what does Allah want us to do and what does Allah want us to refrain from, how can we ever rectify our life? We just sit in the gathering for rewards. So then our attention will never be there to what is being said. If our attention is there towards what is being said, then we will realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do this and it is not in my life, let me adopt it. And Allah wants us to refrain from this so and so action, this is in my life, I need to get rid of it. When we start listening and coming to gathering with this intention, that to gain knowledge of the right and wrong, to differentiate between right and wrong, what is permissible and what is impermissible. What are we supposed to be bringing into our life? What are we supposed to be getting rid from our life? Until a person doesn't gain knowledge and true knowledge, authentic knowledge from the scholars, from the mashayikh, direct from heart to heart, he will never realize that what he is supposed to do and what he is supposed to repent. So two main benefits. Number one, the company, and number two, to understand what is Allah, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking from us. And Imam Ahmad Muhammad rahmatullah once asked that when somebody saw him in a late age, after he had become the faqih of his time, the great knowledgeable man of his time, he was once working with papers and a little part in the ground. So somebody seeing him in this condition said that, Ya Mata'ib Muhammad, O Ibn Muhammad, when did you come in like this that you have got so much knowledge, but still always with pen and paper, with gaining knowledge? These are the people who value knowledge. These are the people who value what Allah has mentioned in the Quran, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith. So they're always in this, they're always in this concern that what is Allah telling us in the Quran, what is Allah telling us in the hadith? What are we supposed to be doing? What are we supposed to be refraining from? So because after becoming the faqih of his time, after people following his jurisprudence and his faith, and after him becoming a famous alim, he's still working in the same age with this paper and pen in his hand. Somebody says to me that Bataya Muhammad ibn Muhammad said, when will you carry on like this knowledge? So he mentioned here an answer saying that Ma'ilmishmarati ibn al-Makbar, that this is moved up to the grave. It is learning that what Allah wants us to do and Allah wants us to refrain from. This stops at the day a person leaves this world and he departs. This is where our knowledge stops. This knowledge is an ocean which has no shore. There is no shore for this. The deeper a person goes, the more he will gain. And the more we gain, the more we will understand that what are we supposed to do, what are we supposed to refrain from. This is what I will give you this. And I will leave you this with this in mind before I expect to share with you this talk, that simply these two intentions, so that we can take maximum benefit and we can derive maximum benefit, and from this point onwards, we will change in our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except the gathering of so many people here today, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means of barakah for this locality, make this a means of barakah for this. this masjid specially, and may Allah make us a means for attending in our life, truly able to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understand and recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and understand what does Allah want us to do, and what does Allah want us to refrain from. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khairi khalqi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
اب میں حضرات کے سامنے حضرت مولانا شیخ محمد سلیم صاحب دامن برکات مناویہ کو دعوت دیتا ہوں تو اپنے ارشادات عالیہ سے ہمیں مستفید فرمائیں اور آپ اللہ توجہ کے ساتھ سنیں سمجھنے کی کوشش کریں اور اس پر ہم سب کو اللہ رب العزت جو ہے وہ عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائیں.
والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب، وإن الدار الآخرة لهي الحيوان لو كانوا يعلمون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Respected elders, brothers in Islam, and my young friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, and He has granted us this life. He has granted us this life to prepare for another life to come. This life is temporary, and the next life is everlasting. حجت الاسلام امام غزالی رحمہ اللہ تعالی states that if the space between the earth and the heavens was filled up with pebbles, imagine how many pebbles this space would contain. If the space between the earth and the heaven was filled up with pebbles, and if after every 1,000 years a pebble was removed, then a time will come when the space will become empty again, but the life here after will not end. الدنيا قليل والآخرة خير لمن اتقى. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, O my messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, tell the people, متاع الدنيا قليل, the paltry benefits of this world are very little and very temporary. والآخرة خير لمن اتقى, and akhirat is very nice, akhirat is very good for those people who adopt taqwa, who accept iman, and who perform good deeds. قُلْ مَتَعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى. This one is very temporary. And the life hereafter is everlasting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for the life hereafter. And He has granted us this life to prepare for that everlasting life. And those people who understand this objective and who continually remember this objective and make preparation for the next life, they are the only clever and intelligent people. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma states that once a few of us came into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and we asked him a question. He said, O Messenger of Allah, man akyasul nas wa man ahwatul nas. O Messenger of Allah, who is the most clever of the people? And who is the most precocious of the people? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْثَرُهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلْمَوْتِ وَإِسْتِعْبَادًا لِلْمَوْتِ. Those people are the most clever who frequently remember their departure from this world and who frequently prepare and continually prepare for the next life. أَكْثَرُهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلْمَوْتِ وَإِسْتِعْبَادًا لِلْمَوْتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَكْيَاسُ النَّاسِ. These are the most clever people. ذهبوا بشرف الدنيا وبكرامة الآخرة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them nobility in this world and honor in the hereafter. So we have two lives. This life, the temporary life, and the life hereafter, which is the permanent life, which is the everlasting life. If we very carefully study this worldly life, which is very, very small in comparison to the everlasting life that is to come, then we will find that this life of ours is divided into various phases. Number one, childhood. Number two, youth. Number three, middle age. And number four, old age. So, the average age of a person in our time is approximately 60 years. So we can say the first 15 years are of childhood, then from 15 to 30 is of youth, then from 30 to 45 is middle age, and after 45 we become old, and slowly, 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 slowly we reach the prime of old age and then we depart from this world. These are the four phases of our lives. The first 15 years, when we are in our childhood, what is our interest? What is our hobby? Our interest and hobby is play and amusement. We have no other objective. We like to play and we like to amuse ourselves. And then this can be divided into two parts. The time when we are very, very young, when we do not understand right from wrong, and when we cannot differentiate between what is beneficial and what is harmful. And thereafter we grow, we become 8, 9, 10, we reach the teens, when we begin to understand what is harmful, what is beneficial to a certain extent. In the first phase of childhood, all we look for is amusement. And we do so many things which the people older than us don't understand. The very young children who are playing all the time in the home, they do so many things. And we just sit there thinking, why is he doing this? What is he achieving by doing whatever he is doing? Thereafter, when we reach our teens, or just before teens, when we begin to understand what is right, what is wrong, what is beneficial, what is harmful, then we tend to engage ourselves in those activities, those playing activities, those amusements which bring some sort of benefit to us. For example, a child at the age of 2, at the age of 3, at the age of 4, when it engages engages in playful activities, then you will find that 99.9% of the activities will not bring any benefit whatsoever to the child. When this child reaches early teens or just before teens, it begins to play football, it begins to play cricket, it begins to play volleyball or whatever. Now, these activities, although this child is engaging for amusement only, for play only, but it brings benefit, physical benefit, mental benefit, and many other benefits. So this is childhood. In childhood, you will find the only interest that a child has is amusement and play. Then when this child reaches youth, at the age of 15, when this child becomes matured, when the child reaches puberty and he enters the phase of youth, then now his interest changes. He does not have so much interest towards amusement and play. He does not find satisfaction out of playing and amusement. He finds that his interest has changed and now he is concerned only about the adornment, his fashion, the way he looks, adornment. And the youth can be divided into two parts. The first part is adornment. He likes to wear good clothes. He likes to look nice. He likes to look the best in the community. He would like his jacket to be the best. He would like his trousers, jeans to be the best. He would like to have a very nice mobile in his hand. He would like everything to be the best. His hairstyle. He is always looking at himself. He likes to adorn himself. And the second phase of youth is boasting. He likes to boast. He likes to be big amongst everybody. And he begins to work. He becomes a graduate. He gets a degree. He finds a very good job. £50,000 salary. He gets a car from the company. And he's always boasting about his things and whatever is around him. So the 15 years of childhood is nothing but play and amusement. Then the second 15 years approximately in youth, we can divide it into two parts, adornment and boastfulness. Adornment. He likes to decorate himself, he likes to adorn himself from every aspect, from every way. And thereafter, the second phase of youth is he likes to boast about everything that he has acquired when he is 22, 25, 30. When he reaches the age of 30, he is married, he's got children, now this is the middle age, so he reaches the third phase where he would like to bring up his children, he would like to see his children grow up, settle down, and after seeing them settle down, he would like to get them married, and then thereafter all his concentration is towards his children only, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and settling them down, he would like to increase his business so his children do not suffer afterwards. The Quran says this is the end of life. A person begins with playfulness, with amusements. Then comes the second phase when he is fully occupied in his adornments. And after adornment comes the boastfulness. And thereafter, when he reaches the middle age, then he is concerned about wealth, he is concerned about his children, his grandchildren. And whilst engaged in worrying about his children, his progeny, his grandchildren, settling them down, the death strikes at his door. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُوٌ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاسُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this worldly life for which you are sacrificing everything, what is this worldly life? This worldly life is nothing but la'ibu walahun, play and amusement. This is the first phase. Wazinatun, and the second phase is adornment, watafakurun, and boastfulness, watakasurun fil amwali wal awlad. And then competition and rivalry in children and wealth. You see two people competing against each other. I've got five sons who are well settled, who are businessmen, I've got five sons who are educated, one is a teacher, one is a lawyer, one is a doctor, and I've got a grandson who is doing this, and I've got another grandson who is doing this, and I've got so much money, I've got so much property, I've got so much wealth. So this is the last phase of a person's life. In the initial stages, we spend every second of our life in playing and amusement. Even when we are in the madrasa, the third is about playing. When can we leave the madrasa so we can start playing? When we are in school, the third is about playing. When can I leave? When can the break time come so I can engage myself in playing? Then comes the youth. When we enter the youth, the only thing is adornment. And with adornment, pride. Pride. You want to be the best. You want to be number one. This is the only intoxication that I want to be right at the top. There are 50 youths, there are 100 youths in this locality. I want to be right at the top. This is your only intoxication that you want to remain right at the top. You want to be unique in your adornment and you want to be unique in your fashion. یہی تجھ کو جن ہے رہو سب سے بالا ہو زینت نرالی ہو فیشن نرالا. At that time when you are in your prime youth, you are so much intoxicated with this boastfulness, with trying to be cool, with trying to be big, with trying to be number one, with trying to remain right at the top, that you forget that once you are a child and very soon you are going to become an old man. And after you become an old man, very soon you will go into the grave. You forget all this. You cannot comprehend that this youth and the vigor of youth is not going to remain forever and ever. Yehi tujhko dun hai rahu sabse bala. This is your only intoxication that you want to remain right at the top. So zinat nirali ho fashion nirala. The adornment should be unique and the fashion should be unique. The poet asks, jiya karta hai kya yuhi marne wala? Jiya karta hai kya yuhi marne wala? The one who is going to die very soon, is this how he lives his life? Then he forgets everything around him. He forgets the objectives of this world and he also forgets the objectives of the hereafter. Boastfulness, adornment makes him forget everything. This makes him forget the parents. This makes him forget the elders in the community. This makes him forget the elders of the family. This makes him forget what is his worldly objective. College, university, how he should be studying, how much effort he should be exerting, what is his responsibility towards his parents, what is his responsibility towards the creator, what is his responsibility towards the creation, towards the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is his responsibility as a youth, as a young man? He forgets everything. He forgets everything because he is intoxicated. The only thing he is after is he wants to remain right at the top. He wants to be number one. He should look the best, he should look the best, he should be respected as the best, and he should be revered as the best. In everything that he wears, he uses. Yehi tujhko dun hai rahu sabse bala, ko zinat nirali ho fashion nirala, jiya karta hai kya yuhi marne wala? The one who is going to die tomorrow, the one who is going to die after old age, the one who is going to die in old age, the one who may die before old age, the one who may not even pass through the youth, the one who may die tomorrow, the one who may die in the next second, the one who may die immediately. Is this how he lives? When he forgets everything, he forgets the creator, he forgets the creation, he forgets what he has been created for, he forgets his objectives and goals in life. Jiya karta hai kya yuhi marne wala, tujhe husn-e zahir mein dhoke mein dala. The creator of this world has deceived you. The poet is saying, the creator of this world, the creator of the youth, the vigor of the youth has deceived you. Dunya ki rang reliyon pe na jana e dil. Another poet is saying, Dunya ki rang reliyon pe na jana e dil, ye to khaza hai jo andaaze bahar aayi hai. The poet is saying, that do not incline your heart towards the grievous of the world. Dunya ki rang reliyon pe na jana e dil. Do not incline your heart towards the grievous of the world. Because all that glitters is not gold. He is saying that ye to khaza hai jo ba andaaze bahar aayi hai. What looks like spring is not spring, it is autumn. What looks like spring in your youth, in the prime of your youth, when you become old, when you look back at your young age, then you will realize that it was nothing but autumn. You were deceived with the pleasures that you were seeking and the adornment that you were seeking and the boastfulness that was within your heart. And now the qabr is in front of you, and now you will realize what you are after and what you should have been after. So this is the second phase youth. And in this second phase, the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows a person with, the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants. Allah does not grant those bounties and those favors in childhood. Allah does not grant those favors and those bounties in middle age. Allah does not grant those favors and bounties in old age. The vigor, the strength, the effort that you can exert to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are young, when you are in your youth, you cannot exert the same effort when you are young. You cannot exert the same effort when you are in middle age. You cannot exert the same effort when you are old. And when you are in the prime youth, then the desires are also at its peak. The unlawful urges are also at its peak. And a person is rewarded according to his sacrifice. So an old man does not have to suppress his desires as much as a young man has to. So if a person in his prime youth was to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if he was to suppress all the desires that urge him to go towards those things which are unlawful, which brings the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the reward that he will acquire, an old man or a young boy cannot acquire the same reward. And similarly, if a person was to exert that effort, and acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will acquire that nearness that other people will not be able to acquire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, سَبْعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّهُ. There are seven categories of people whom will be shaded under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, when there will be no shade except the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seven categories of people. Out of these seven categories, one category is شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. That youth who grew up in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That youth who grew up in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because when a youth worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when a youth exerts efforts towards pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then because of the vigor of youth, he is able to do more than what other people would be able to do. And number two, in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the urges and the desires that he has to sacrifice, the other people do not have to sacrifice the same desires. So value this youth, my friends. Value this youth before we lose this youth. Value this youth before we lose this youth. Another Urdu poet says, Ladakpan ne tujhko barson khilaya, jawani ne phir tujhko majnu banaya, budhape ne phir aake kya kya sataya, ajal tera kar degi bilkul safaya. Ladakpan ne tujhko barson khilaya, your childhood made you play for years and years. Right from the time you were born, you started walking, you started moving, you were playing. You were playing. Even when you could not walk, you were playing. Right from childhood, you were playing until 15, 16. Your childhood made you play and play and play and play. Jawani ne phir tujhko majnu banaya. And when came the time of youth, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted you to sacrifice all the desires and become His, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted you to exert every effort to become His, at that time you became insane. You became a madman. You lost your senses. As shababu shabatu min al junoon, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that youth is a department of insanity. A person becomes insane. You try to explain to him what is beneficial for him in this world, what is beneficial for him in the hereafter. It just won't click. It just won't enter his head. He will not be able to understand. The whole community understands, the whole family understands, the elders of the family understands, everybody understands, but he cannot understand. He is adamant, he is stubborn, He just wants to do what he feels like doing. Ash-shababu shabatun min al-junun. In Urdu we say, jawani diwani. In youth, a person becomes insane. He does not understand what is good for him, what is bad for him. He cannot differentiate between what is right and what is wrong. He cannot differentiate between what is harmful for him and what is beneficial for him. Whereas, as soon as he reaches the age of 15, when he becomes baligh, when he becomes mature, as far as the Sharia is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him the ability to differentiate between what is wrong and what is right. But because he has not been brought up in the Islamic environment, or he was not nurtured correctly, and he does not have any connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is not prepared to accept what is right or what is wrong. He is not prepared to differentiate between what is beneficial, what is harmful. And all he is doing is, he is following his desires. He is following his views and fancies. I want to do this, I want to do it. I don't want to do this, I don't want to do it. He will not learn from the experiences of his elders. He will want to learn from his own experiences. He will want to learn from his own experiences. And this is how he will spend this youth. And that youth, who was nurtured properly, Islamically, who was given good Islamic education, whose parents exerted every effort to make him think Islamically, whose parents exerted every effort to bring him nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person, when he reaches the age of bulugh, the age of puberty, then you will see holiness on his face. You will see him coming to the masjid 5 times regularly. You will see humbleness in him. You will see respect in him. He will have respect for his elders, and he will be kind to his young ones. And you will see him using the vigor of his youth in helping other people, helping the elderly, helping the orphans, helping the weak, helping the disabled. And he will be an asset for the whole community. He will be an asset for, he will not be a problem. He will not be a stone that will prick the whole community. He will not be a stone pricking the parents all the time, pricking the family all the time. He will be an asset for the parents. He will be an asset for the family. He will be an asset for the whole community. And it is regarding this youth, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, that shabun masha'a fi ibadatillahi azza wa jal. That youth who grew up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be granted shade under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So friends, especially my young friends, let us put the past behind us and let us begin a new life from today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready to embrace us whenever we are ready to sort our matter out with him. Inna Allah ghafur rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving, all merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafir. He forgives. He is a forgiver. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafur. Great forgiver. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghaffar, the greatest of forgivers. He is the greatest forgiver. He has mentioned 3 of his qualities in the Quran. Ghafir al-dhanbi wa qabil al-tawb. He is ghafir. He is the forgiver. He is inna Allah ghafur rahim. He is ghafur. Ghafur means great forgiver. Forgiver of a higher category. And he says, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى. I am not only ghafir, forgiver. I am not only ghafur, the great forgiver. I am also ghaffar, the greatest forgiver. And in the terminology of Sharia, when the person reaches the first stage of sinning, he is known as valim, valim sinner. And when he reaches the second stage of sinning, he is known as zalim, the great sinner. And when he reaches the third stage of sinning, he is known as dhallam, the greatest sinner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by mentioning his 3 qualities in the Quran, is indicating to each and every believer, who has spent any portion of his life in sinning, that, oh my servant, if you have reached the stage of being a valim, if you are a sinner, then come to my door, come to my court, ask for forgiveness, I will meet you as a ghafir, the forgiver. If you come as a valim, a sinner, I will meet you as a ghafir, the forgiver. And if you come to me as a zaloom, the great sinner, then I will meet you as a ghafur, the great forgiver. And if you come to my house, and if you repent, and if you meet me as a zallam, the greatest sinner, then don't worry, I am not only Ghafir, I am not only Ghafur, I will meet you as the Ghaffar, the greatest forgiver. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, my young friends, to forgive us. And let us not waste this youth. Let us not wait for middle age. Let us not wait for old age. Let us not wait for the pangs of death to strike us. Let us not wait for Ramadan al-Mubarak. Let us not wait to go for Hajj or Umrah. Let us not wait for Makkah Mukarrama or Medina Munawwara. Let us not wait for the day of Friday. Let us not wait for auspicious moments or auspicious days or auspicious nights. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked by somebody that which is the most beloved moment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which is the most beloved day to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which is the most beloved month to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which is the most beloved year to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said the most beloved year, the most beloved month, the most beloved day, and the most beloved moment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that moment where a person repents and makes friendship with him. That is the most beloved day, that is the most beloved month, that is the most beloved moment, that is the most beloved year. So let us not waste a single time and let us make a firm resolution while sitting in this very gathering that whatever has happened, has happened. All the sins that I have committed, my Creator is there to forgive me. Now I will turn to Him and I will ask Him for forgiveness. And from now on, I will try my utmost to abstain from every disobedience. And if overcome by shaitan and nafs, I will not wait for Friday, I will not wait for Ramadan, I will not wait for another gathering. As soon as I make a mistake, I will immediately, with total regret, with a firm resolution again, not to commit that same sin again, I will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This cycle must continue from today. First and foremost, we must repent from all sins. We must make a firm resolution that we will not commit any sin whatsoever from now. And we will try our utmost to restrain our nafs, our desires. And if after 24 hours, after 48 hours, after 1 week, after 10 days, we fall prey to our nafs, we fall prey to shaitan, and we are made to commit sin again, then we will not wait for 1 week, we will not wait for 1 year, we will not wait for 1 month, we will not wait for a gathering like this again. We will not wait to come to the masjid as soon as we realize that I have been deceived by my nafs, I have been deceived by shaitan. And shaitan and nafs have made me commit this sin so that I am deprived of the pleasure of Allah and of entry into Jannah. Why should I let them become successful? Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. I will not commit this sin again. I will not commit this sin again. And this cycle must continue until we breathe our last. This cycle must continue. I will not commit a single sin. That should be our motto from today. And as soon as we commit a sin, overcome by nafs or shaitan, we will immediately repent. This repentance should continue because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not set a limit for repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not said that if you repent, if you make mistakes 100 times, I will forgive you. After that, I will not forgive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not said if you make mistakes 1,000 times, I will forgive you. After that, I will not forgive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very clearly, indefinitely, that whenever my servant makes a mistake, and after that he makes a firm resolution to stop that sin, and with regret he comes to my court and he says, oh Allah, forgive me, I will immediately forgive him, and attaibu min adh-dhanbi kama la dhanbahu, I will make him pure as if he has not committed any sin whatsoever. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith that when a person commits a sin, then the angel who is appointed to write down his evil deeds writes them down in his book of deeds. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that the limbs of his body that are witnessing that particular practice, that particular deed, they will also witness on the day of Qiyamah. So one witness is the book of deeds, the second witness is the angel, the third witness is the body itself, even the tongue will witness on the day of Qiyamah, even the eyes will witness, the hands will witness, the legs will witness. And thereafter, anything that observes this person committing this sin will also bear witness in the day of Qiyamah. This carpet will bear witness. The walls will bear witness. The tree will bear witness. The darkness of the night, which we use to hide ourselves in when we are committing sins, that darkness is also the creation of Allah. Allah will order the darkness to witness against us on the day of Qiyamah. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, the father of Shaykh Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, says that each and every particle and each and every object in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is CID for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is there witness on the day of Qiyamah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that when a person after committing a sin sincerely with total regret, with firm resolution not to commit that sin again, repents and he says to Allah, oh Allah, forgive me. Enough is enough. Now I will not commit this sin again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sin and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will erase that bad deed from his book of deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will erase it from the memory of the angel who writes that deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will erase it from the memory of each and every object that is looking at it. And in the day of Qiyamah, only Allah will know that this person has committed this sin and I have forgiven it. That is how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to forgive us. Allama Sayyid Mahmud Alusi Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala, the author of the great tafsir, Tafsir Ruhul Ma'ani, he quotes a hadith Qudsi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La aminul mudhnibin ahabbu ilayya min zajlil musabbihin. Allahu Akbar. What a hadith. How much comfort a sinner will get from this hadith? Allahu Akbar. In this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions two categories of people. The one category are his very beloved ones, those who are very near to him. Those who are pure from sins, those who abstain from sins, and once in a while, maybe once in a year, once in 2 years, once in 3 years, once in 4 years, once in 6 months, commit a mistake, a small sin, and as soon as they commit it, immediately they repent. Their condition is that they cannot remain without repenting if a mistake is committed. They don't make mistakes, but if a mistake is committed once in a while, then they cannot spend a single second without repenting. So their condition is that if they were to die right now, they would go straight into Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include all of us amongst this category. These are the people who are known as muqarrabin, musabbihin, those who are doing tasbih all the time. Subhanallah, 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 subhanallah. They resort to istighfar less and more to tasbih because their sins are, their lives are pure from sins. So they remember Allah and they say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, we glorify you, you are so pure, you are so pure. It is because of your purity that you are keeping us pure from sins. Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And there is another category of his servants who are sinful, who are sinners. And this group, after realizing that we have made a mistake, we have disobeyed that Creator who has granted us everything. He has brought us from nothing into existence. And thereafter he has granted us the eyes, the ears, the tongue, the faculty of intellect. He has granted us every limb in our body, every organ in our body. He has granted us oxygen. He has granted us children, wife. He has granted us iman. He has included us amongst the ummah of his most beloved Nabi, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me so many favors and I am disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this group, after committing sin, they are totally regretful, and because they have nothing in their book of good deeds, they say, Astaghfirullah, 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 Astaghfirullah. So you have two groups. One group is saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And the other group is crying, weeping and beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness by saying Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Now the sound of Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah is also reaching Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the sound of the crying of the sinners and Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah is also reaching the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the sound of crying and astaghfirullah is more beloved to me than the sound of subhanallah. La amin al-mudlimin ahabbu ilayya min zajl al-musabbihin. Ya ibadi al-ladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. Ya ibadi, O my servants, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ those who have oppressed themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to those people who have destroyed themselves by sinning. And what is he saying? Ya ibadi, oh my servants. He says, oh my servants. You are not strangers, you are also my servants. Ya ibadi, oh my servants. Alladina asrafu ala anfusihim. Those who have oppressed themselves by committing sins. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jamia. Indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. Allah Ghafoorun Raheem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving and merciful. So my appeal to, especially my young friends, this appeal is to everybody. Young, old, each and every person is in need of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Each and every, we all make mistakes. And if we have reached our old age, if we have reached our middle age, then we have wasted the cream of our life, the cream of our youth. Now, let us make the most out of this middle age. Let us make the most out of our old age before we depart from this world. And those of you who are still in your youth, value this youth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمسين. Utilize five things before five things overtake them. And one of these things is شبابك قبل حرمي. Utilize your youth, the vigor of youth, before your old age overtakes you. Before your old age overtakes you. So my appeal to each and every young friend of mine, alhamdulillah, you have all gathered in a large number, and it makes one very happy to see such a large number of youth gathered together on a Saturday night in the masjid only to listen to the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the intention of joining His bond with the Creator. Repenting and joining His bond with the Creator. It makes one so happy. So let us make a firm resolution. The past is past. From now, I want to start a new life. I want to start a new life. From today, I will resist and I will suppress my nafs. And I will try to do everything that will bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I slip, I will immediately repent. Remember my friends. Remember, if you have fallen 10 times, if you have fallen 100 times, if you have fallen 1,000 times, if you have fallen 100,000 times, you still have the chance until you breathe your last. But because we don't know when we will breathe our last, it is important that we repent immediately. It is possible that we may not live to leave this mosque. And if we go without repentance, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive us and He may punish us. It is up to Him. So let us repent. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, Zalim, Zalim, O sinner, Zalim, O sinner, Abhi hai fursat-e tawba, deer na kar. Abhi hai fursat-e tawba. You still have the chance to do tawba and make amends with your Creator. Abhi hai fursat-e tawba, deer na kar. Do not delay. Do not delay. Aaga apni maut se koi bashar nahi. Nobody is aware of the time of his death. No human is aware of the time of his death. Saman so baras ka hai, kal ki khabar nahi. He is making preparations for 100 years, but he does not know what will happen tomorrow. And if we change it slightly, then we can say, Saman so baras ka hai, kal ki khabar nahi. He is preparing for 100 years, but he does not know what will happen in the next second. So, abhi hai fursat-e tauba, der na kar. You still have the chance to repent, do not delay. And, Mujhe Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi further says, Zalim abhi hai fursat-e tauba, دیر نہ کر وہ بھی گرا نہیں جو گرا پھر سنبھل گیا. When two boxers are fighting in the ring and if one gets knocked out, if he gets up before the count of 10, nobody says he was knocked out. He gets knocked out a second time, he gets up before the count of 10. A third time, he gets up before the count of 10. He gets knocked out 10 times, but if he gets up before the count of 10, nobody says he was knocked out. And his opponent is knocked out only once, but he cannot get up before the count of 10. Everybody says he is a knockout. This, he was knocked out 10 times, but because he got up before the count of 10, nobody will say he is a knockout. And he fell once only, and he could not get up before the count of 10. Everybody will say he is a knockout. Similarly, my friends, our count of 10 is when we breathe our last. Before we breathe our last, if we slip, if we fall 100,000 times, if we get up before the count of 10, before we breathe our last, we will not be regarded a knockout in the hereafter. But if we fall, and fall once only, and we do not get up before we breathe our last, and we do not return, then we will be regarded a knockout in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Mufti Sahib says, Zalim, O the sinner, abhi hai fursat-e tawbah, you still have the opportunity to return. Dair na kar, do not delay. Zalim, abhi hai fursat-e tawbah, dair na kar, wo bhi ghira nahi, jo ghira phir sambal gaya. He is not a knockout, who after being knocked out, gets up before the count of death. So, let us make a firm resolution, especially my young friends, we have traveled all the way from Leicester with certain illnesses and disabilities, only with this in mind, that inshallah we will be meeting our Muslim brothers there, and we will be talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about deen, about the reality of this world, about the reality of the life hereafter, and even if one brother was to sincerely repent and pay heed to what is being said to him, then our journey will be a successful one. And I hope, and by looking at the faces of my young brothers here at this precise moment, inside I am feeling that inshallah each and every brother will return today and he will make a firm resolution to follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this youth will not remain forever. Jawani ne phir tujhko majnu banaya, the childhood made you play for years and years, and then the youth made you insane. Budhape ne phir aake kya kya sataya. Then came the old age, when you look back at your youth, the way you wasted your time, at your middle age, the way you wasted your time, then you are thinking to yourself that I wasted my time, I wasted my life. And then when you look at the qabr in front of you, you will get even more worried. Budhape ne phir aake kya kya sataya. Ajal tera kar degi bilkul sataya. Ajal will exterminate you totally. Death will exterminate you totally. Jaga ji lagane ki duniya nahi hai. Ye imrat ki jaa hai, tamasha nahi hai. One should not make his heart inclined towards his worldly life. One should at all times prepare for the life hereafter. So I urge all my brothers, I make an appeal to all my brothers, that inshallah they will safeguard their youth, they will sincerely repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make a firm resolution not to fall prey to shaitan and nafs. And the easiest method in achieving this is, number one, stay away from evil environment. Number two, stay away from wrong company. And number three, whenever possible, try as much as possible to remember that one day I am going to depart from this world, and that departure may be any time, and after my departure from this world, I will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one continues to remember this, Ya sahibi, la taghtarir bitana'umin, fal umru yanfadu wal na'imu yazulu, idha hamalta ala al-qubur janazatan, fa'alam bi annaka ba'daha mahmulu. Ya sahibi, O my friend, O my companion, la taghtarir bitana'umin, do not deceive yourself because of the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you. Don't deceive yourself because of your youth. Don't deceive yourself because of your good health. Don't deceive yourself. Do not deceive yourself because of these favors. Because the person who is rich today may become poor tomorrow. The one who is young today will become old tomorrow. The one who is healthy today will become sick tomorrow. And there are so many people who came into this world who never experienced a single day of headache. They went to sleep at night, could not wake up in the morning. يغتنم في الفراغ فضل ركوعهم عسى أن يكون موتك بغتة كم صحيح رأيت من غير السقم ذهبت نفسه الصحيحة فلتة. إمام البخاري رحمة الله عليه says, كم صحيح رأيت من غير السقم. I have seen many healthy people who have never experienced sickness. ذهبت نفسه الصحيحة فلتة. Death came suddenly and snatched his soul away. Went to sleep at night, could not wake up in the morning. So, Ya sahibi, la taghtarir bitana'umin, do not deceive yourself. Because of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَالْعُمْرُ يَنْفَدَ وَالْمَعِيمُ يَزُولُ. Because the life is going to come to an end. And if the life does not come to an end, then these favors will leave you. Either you will leave the youth and go away, or the youth will leave you and make you old. Either you will leave the wealth behind and go away, or the wealth will leave you and make you a poor person. فالعمر ينفد والنعيم يزول. He further says, إذا حملت على القبور جنازة, when you carry somebody's janaza in the Qabristan, then do not think to yourself that he is going. Tell yourself, فَعَلَمْ بِأَنَّكَ بَعْدَهَا مَحْمُولُ, that it is possible that the next janaza may be mine. So, keep away from wrong environment. Keep away from wrong company. And all the time, try to think as much as possible that one day I will depart from this world. That departure is imminent, and it could be any time, it could be suddenly. And once I depart from this world, I will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will have to give account for each and every second of my life, including my youth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the courage to carry out whatever good intentions we are entertaining at the moment, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us from the mu'minun and from those people who remain steadfast on his deen and who depart from this world with iman and with Husn Khatima. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us entry into Jannah without any reckoning, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the company of the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. رب اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اغفر لنا واختر لنا ويسر لنا أمورنا وألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم وفق شبابنا لما تحب وترضى. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. نستغفرك ربنا ونسألك التوبة. وأصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما آتيتنا. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ, ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأهلنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء, ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات, الأحياء منهم الأموات, إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم, وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله على خير خلقه ونور عرشه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.